welcome back. Let's get going. We have a lot to do this hour. Welcome back, Erica.
Thanks, Jeff. Good to be here.
All right. Yeah, it is good to be here. This is, for all of you out there who may be new, we're with you Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for an hour, sometimes more, to try to keep you updated as much as we can with what we feel to be the most valid and worthy information regarding the massive genocide that is going on right now. And it's up to you to make of it what you will, to decide for yourselves, and to take action thereof. Now, first up, just real quick, there have been infants injected with this stuff in the past, not necessarily part of the trials that are allegedly going on now. Moderna is trying to get the age lowered from 6 months to 3 months to begin to inject these little babies with these death shots. And the story came from, I believe it's, I don't know which state, an analysis of various reports shows that the contrary information to the FDA's briefing document claiming that the majority of adverse effects in Pfizer's clinical trial were non-serious, at least 58 cases of life-threatening side effects in infants under 3 years of age who received the mRNA injections were reported. Now, you're not hearing about that. These kids showed up complaining of chest pains when they could talk, since too little at 6 months, 2 months, 3 months. Cardiac arrests were reported, skin, cold. These are things we were hearing about in teenagers, but this has been going on already in little, tiny infants. A two-month-old male received the shot, Pfizer, lot number blah, blah, blah. Patient-administered vaccine, observed for 15 minutes, left the clinic, then returned an hour later on February 2nd, 2021. Presenting as skin cold, clammy, and with chest pain, cardiac arrest event then developed, patient stabilized, transferred for further medical treatment. The outcome of the events unknown. But the point is, this has been going on. How did a two-month-old baby get an mRNA vaccine? Nobody knows the answer, but they have the results. So the record is clear. Don't do it. And you parents out there who know other parents who are thinking about it, all I can say is, if you're still on conversational terms with those parents, do everything humanly possible to deter them, to get them to do research before they take that fatal step. That's all I can say. I just got this story. I thought you might want to hear it.
Was that from the data, the Pfizer data that they were forced to turn over? Is that what you, where they're quoting from?
I'm not sure. I haven't been able to read it. It's a very long story. It's from Health Impact News, where they have story after story after story, and each one seems to be kind of a headline story, a snippet. So I'll have to dig into that further. I don't know the answer.
Yeah, for what it's worth, I did read something somewhere recently. Somebody was aware that Pfizer, maybe it was Moderna, maybe it was both, went into some orphanage in Poland where there were infants, and they
there
were
you go.
Just injecting yeah. them to see what would happen.
Yeah.
So maybe it's from that. I don't know.
They weren't clear. The story said, was it a trial? Was it some other protocol they were following? And it said, the picture is unclear. So you may well be right. They're just going in and taking advantage of whatever humanity they can get their hands on.
Yeah, under the guise of philanthropy or something. But
right.
I think it's notable that in the Pfizer trials, was it Moderna? I think it was just the Pfizer. For the six-month-old to under five, there were 4,500 enrolled, and 3,000 of them had to drop out. So what happened to those 3,000? Why didn't they complete the trial? I mean, you can fill in the blanks. It doesn't take much imagination seeing what we're seeing in adults.
Correct. This is a whopper of a lineup of stories. Fully vaxxed, pro-vaccine Canadian senator dead at the age of 56. This just goes on and on. On and on and on. And this is just a tiniest fragment of 1%, if that. It may be even less than that. People are dying all over the place. You're not hearing about it. But if you do listen outside and you hear a lot of sirens more than usual, I think you'll get the idea. These are usually heart attacks, strokes, life-threatening issues. It's crazy. This is, I'll be posting this later on. It's called the headline for the whole string of stories, Pfizer Crimes Against Our Children, Cardiac Arrest of Two-Month-Old Baby an Hour After Experimental Vaccine. Well, so there you go. All right. Now, we have a lot happening, and we're going to jump in first up tonight to a video. It was an interview by Greg Hunter, right? And it has to do with
Dr. David.
Did you want
to do that one first? I think we ought to save that one for...
I don't know why. I got a note from you, and it seemed to have reversed everything. But we can do that last. I think we should do it later. I agree.
Yeah. I was just saying, play the preamble instead of cutting into it midstream.
Got it. Okay, well, let me pull over here and get... I'm going to save that one and go to this one. While I'm doing this, what's going on in your neighborhood? Mr. Rogers, what can you tell us about what's going on in your neighborhood?
Okay, so this is the greater Boston area, New England. I just sense that things are not what they are for a typical summer. There's kind of a somber feel to the air. The beaches are not as crowded as you would expect. The tourist areas are not as crowded as you would expect. Rush hour is not what it was. I am hearing more sirens. There is a hospital not too far from where I'm at, and there's a church also. And Monday, those church bells were ringing for a good half hour, so I suspect somebody significant was being laid to rest. So it appears as though that the funerals are more frequent.
Mm-hmm.
And I just, I was in the grocery store later today,
And how are people looking?
Yeah, they it was striking. They had kind of a empty look about them. Just a dazed look. I think it's partly...
It's a vacant look. So yes.
Vacant, yeah, and yeah. Worn down. Just worn down.
Tired,
haggard. But then even their pallor did not look good. It was definitely a lack of vitality or vibrance in the crowd in general. They seem worn out, worn down, tired, empty.
Got it. Okay, I've got this. I have the same observation out here, and I do think, as we've been saying for actually quite a while now, a lot of people who have been given the death shot are sick. They don't feel well. They don't want to go out. And when they do go out, you can see in their face the toll that has taken on them already. And they are literally, from head to foot, suffering, in most cases, from amyloid buildup, whether they be clots or plaques. Doesn't matter. They are being afflicted, and they are going to eventually suffer catastrophic problems. That's the best I can sum it up for you. All right, first video. Equity investment executive and former BlackRock portfolio manager Edward Dowd, D-O-W-D, comments on the 84, now this guy knows insurance, 84% excess mortality in millennials aged 25 to 44 from March 2021 to February 2022. We'll call it a year. So it almost doubled in 1 year. The normal rate of death. Now, this is, again, insurance and equity investment intelligence at work looking at the data. So I think that's the one we want to go with. Yes?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Ed Dowd says, the proof in the millennials. All right, here we go. I got a commercial. 5, 4,
We then also then decided to look at the youngest cohort, working age folks, the millennials, and the age group, you know, we identified millennials as 25 to 44. And what we saw there was alarming. Their excess mortality obviously spiking to the end of 2020, but then into the fall of 2021, it jumped to new all-time highs of 84% excess mortality from baseline, the prior 5 years baseline. And it spiked, the rate of change from the summer into the fall, the August, September, October time frame was alarming and indicated an event occurred. That event, in our opinion, were corporate mandates. And the numbers that represents from March of 21 to Feb of 22 was 61,000 excess deaths. That's in the millennial cohort. If you remember, 58,000 soldiers died in the Vietnam War. So the millennials in 1 year experienced a silent Vietnam War. And, you know, the Vietnam War occurred over 10 years. So, you know, that this is an alarming number of young working age folks who just disappeared. You know, the criticism I get is that, oh, it's drug overdoses, it's missing treatments, it's suicides. Well, the rate of change into the fall, the event known as the corporate mandates, suggests that you can't convince me that everyone decided in a 3 month time frame to all commit suicide, overdose on drugs, or all miss their cancer screening treatments. So that, for me, the millennials is what I call the smoking gun. Okay, this is a group that shouldn't be dying, especially in year two of a pandemic. You can't tell me the virus switched from only going after older folks to now going after younger folks and switching from respiratory to cardiovascular. And that's what we're seeing mostly occurring with these young folks, cardiovascular issues.
The only thing that Ed is wrong about is misidentifying the pandemic. The pandemic is the pandemic, plandemic of the injections, which is causing the deaths. Nothing to do with a normal pandemic. This is a pandemic of injection, bioweapon injection. But otherwise, very well said.
Yeah, that's striking. I mean, that 84% excess mortality in 25...
A Vietnam War's worth of dead.
In 1 year?
Yeah. And no one's paying attention. I don't see anybody out in the street. I've never seen one placard yet. Down with Pfizer. I've not seen anything. Nothing.
It looks as though the people are just accepting this sudden adult death syndrome as... You know, the consequence of just basic living.
You're correct. They have. They have accepted it. And I don't know how that was achieved. I don't know what kind of chicanery was involved. But I think that they knew this in their gaming and their supercomputer AI analyses of the people and how they'd react. Because this is unprecedented. No one is out there with even a simple placard. Nothing. They're just accepting it as a new way of life and death. Oh, well, he died. That's too bad. He was too young. You know, 19 is a little young, but he died. This is what they're doing. This is crazy.
Yeah, I just was scanning the local obituaries yesterday, and there's a 33-year-old male in good shape, healthy, passed away unexpectedly Saturday afternoon. Prior to that, well, I think I read you the one last week. Is it some, I don't know, 27-year-old that was visiting from California, went for a hike in the woods.
Yes.
Turned up dead with, you know, no evidence of foul play, just dead.
There'll be more logs to step over in the forest here pretty soon.
It's incredible.
Another 27-year-old was out playing basketball and fell over dead on the court. Just having fun. Whoop, heart stopped. Gone. Couldn't pump any more blood. Down he goes. This is happening. And a lot of it is not making the so-called news, certainly not the national news, but even the local news, I think they're covering a lot of it up. We know that the obituaries no longer, they were saying 2 months after a vaccine or a week after a vaccine. They were saying that in the beginning, but that's long gone now. Now it's just died suddenly, died unexpectedly, died in her sleep. We've got some things to read for you later tonight. You're not going to want to miss these at all. Okay, we have another video. Massive uptick It's Ed Dowd again in disability claims since the vaccine rollout. Now, this is amazing when you think about the fact that 80% of the people have been injected. And if you want to, I hate to do this, but let's assume that everyone who has been injected is going to die much sooner than they should have. I'm going to leave it politely stated like that. If that's the case, the disability claims are going to go through the roof because they're all sick and getting sicker. And Erica, how many people have you read about who have recovered from being severely or seriously injured by these bioweapon injections? Who's recovering? Who's getting all better and back to normal?
Very few that I can see. But I don't know if, you know, my sampling is representative of everybody who's had an injury from these things.
You've been drilling.
Yeah.
You've been drilling.
Well, all right. That's the voice of Steve Bannon, who can't wait to get going. But your sampling, I mean, we talk off air about this, and she's finding things on social media that we've read to you, and it's going to be an astounding avalanche of the same kinds of horror stories from here on out. That's the way it's going to play out.
Yeah, I mean, there are people, there definitely are people whose injuries appear to be permanent. You know, myocarditis, pericarditis,
those
still
are permanent
a year
injuries.
Plus out.
Yeah.
The hearing loss, tinnitus, often morphing into more serious neurological issues as if that's not serious enough, but maybe progressing to paralysis, blindness or vision loss. And there was a particularly disturbing one. In the amyloidosis support group, there's an influx of younger people. Now, bear in mind, amyloidosis is generally an older person's disease. I mean, it's having to do with protein misfolding that as you age, it's, you know, just an inevitable consequence of living on planet Earth for a certain period of time. Or the other situation is that you inherit a form of it. But in general, you don't see young people with amyloidosis. But there was one that I read to Jeff today that was just heartbreaking. And it's, there's nothing to be done for it. You know, you can maybe kind of keep it from progressing quickly, but once it starts, it grows on itself and you're ultimately debilitated.
No, it's an inexorable spread to a very unpleasant early death in most cases. All right, here's Ed Dowd in that uptick in disability claims since the bioweapon rollout.
On all this data on the vax, pharma, the big pharma, the mortality rates, you've got some very disturbing stuff, I think, for disabilities. Tell us what you got.
Correct. So my partner, who is the insurance analyst from Wall Street, discovered some disability data from the U.S. Bureau of Department of Labor. So this is the monthly household employment survey. It's real-time data. They ask questions about having disabled people in your home, and that number had been hovering around 29-plus million for 5 years. Since the beginning of the vaccination program, we had a spike into the spring of 21, and then we had another spike into the fall of 21, and we're continuing at this very high rate. We had added another 3 million in disabled individuals in this country in 21. Going to 22, this is about 1% increase in the disabled. And if you want to understand what's going on with supply chain shortages, this is a big part of it. This is 3 million people, likely higher. It's a disaster. It's grim. It's real time.
Well, hold it. 3 million would be almost over 10%. I mean, that's off of 29 million. Is a 29 million 3 million is 10%. I mean, that's a gigantic cut.
10% of the 29 million, 1% increase in total population of the U.S., 330 million. So,
yes.
Correct.
But it's the base to look at. We're going to take a short commercial break. This is a stunning number. You're telling me that things have been flat for 5 years at 29 million, and all of a sudden out of the data, they got 3 million people are disabled out of nowhere?
Correct. And the other thing, hold it.
We're going to go to a commercial break. I want to hold this. I want to leave them hanging as we break. I'm freaking out now. The household survey is just people answering. But the baseline is 29 million disability, and all of a sudden in the last year, people filling it out have said, oh, but he's disabled. They're not saying why, but he's disabled. Another 3 million, that's 10%. Has anybody else in the industry picked this up? Because that's a blockbuster number, bro.
Yeah, there are lots of people talking about it now and a lot of Substacks being written. The insurance industry has been seeing disability increase into 21 from 20 and continuing to increase in 22. They're not quite yet on the ball about this, but they will be soon. We put them on notice. We sent a letter to 100 CEOs.
You did? Okay, regulators. Ed, I got it. An increase is an increase. A 10% increase when you've had a flat, you've had a baseline number for 5 years, that's jaw-dropping. There's something wrong. I mean, there's something. Where are all these disabled? Why are people self-identifying?
I think Steve ought to start listening to us. I really do. He seems to be behind the curve here.
Is disabled.
Well, I think we know why, Steve. But I think a lot of these people don't.
Well, let's not play games, Ed. Let's tell it like it is.
You know why? And you know, as luck would have it, Justin Bieber just went on Instagram and said he's injured and has half his face is paralyzed. He's not. He doesn't understand why, but. There you go. This is happening all over the country.
We had this article the other day about young people dying. Okay, Ed, we're going to have you back on and drill down on this deeper and also get your sense of the economy. Ed broke some news. He says September, you're projecting over the hill September CPI to be what, sir?
9 to 10%.
The damage that will be done. Ed Dowd, how do people get to you? I know you're on fire on Getter. Give us all your social media coordinates and your website.
Getter is...
Okay, we don't need that. His appearance on Bannon, I don't know what it's going to do, but they're still holding back. They just will not step up to the plate and take a big swing at the truth. This thing is not a vaccine. It was never designed to be. Forgive the repetition. It was designed to do exactly what it's doing, and it is doing it in a multiplicity of different ways, pathways, devices. I mean, every time a week goes by, I think I hear of a new, maybe one or two different ways where this spike and its corollaries can kill over time, whether the time is a month or a year, doesn't really matter. The projections by Deagle say January 1 of 2025, we'll have less than 100 million people here in this country. And 330 million, maybe 40 to 50 million are illegals, invaders. But be that as it may, we're supposedly going to have less than 100 million in 2 years and, yeah, what, 4 months, 5 months, something like that. So there you go. All right, that's Edward Dowd.
I'm not sure how to read that, because do we really believe that the insurance companies were blindsided by this?
No. I don't. Not for a second. No. Not a chance. No, ma'am. Okay. I know a lot of you may have questions out there. I wish I had time to answer them. We'd love to. We don't. But just keep your eye on the headlines and keep your eye on the archive on the right side of the homepage. You know where it is. Just go down to headline news, look over to your right, scroll down below the hideous picture of Biden, and you'll find two or three pictures of the alleged spike. And below that is our archive. And that's got all the important material in it that we can put together for you. There's a lot more, but we don't want to overload everything. All right, we've got some things to read here. Then we're going to play this Dr. David Martin, at least an excerpt of it for you, who seems to have things dialed in. We'll find out in just a few minutes. So what's up first here?
Oh, okay. We have a couple of post-vax stories here. Not that this is anything new for us, but they're interesting. I mean, they're tragic and interesting at the same time. We could start with that, or we could do the Shedding.
Let's do shedding. We've got three shedding stories, right?
How about we start with the post-vax death. I mean, this is a highly unusual one because it's a cluster.
Okay,
in
which
a neighborhood.
One is that?
I titled it post-vax. Yeah.
Number one. Yeah. Numero uno. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, I believe this is in the UK. My father and my stepfather both died of the AstraZeneca. I have heard of five others in my circle of friends. In our street alone, 15 people died within a matter of days in a series of 10 neighboring houses.
Wait, hold on. I got to do that again. My father and my stepfather both died of the AstraZeneca kill shot. I have heard of five others in my circle of friends who have also died. In our street alone, 15 people died within a matter of days in a series of 10 neighboring houses. 15 people in 10 adjoining or neighboring houses in this person's neighborhood, dead in a matter of days.
That's staggering.
Go ahead.
Okay, one couple, this is unbelievable. One couple were both found decomposing on the sofa together. Both were still watching TV.
The question is, what were they watching and were they answering? This is crazy. A couple sitting on the sofa, dead, decomposing, still watching a live television. What does
that means they were there for several days before someone thought to check on them or they turned up missing. That's unbelievable.
Oh, go.
Both were still watching TV. This was a few doors from my stepfather, who was found dead on the kitchen floor from a heart attack. He didn't have heart problems before the jab. The neighbor next door died suddenly of a cancer no one knew of. He was sat on his sofa. He died a few weeks before my stepfather. No one on the street has linked all the deaths or see it as odd. Why can't they see it? All these people were jabbed in February 2021, dead by April 2021. Every street used the same village and doctor's clinic. How can the doctors themselves not see their whole patients list dying and not say anything?
Well, obviously they can, and that's 1 month. February 2021 to April, 1 month in between, all these people dead. It's happening. It's happening, I'll bet, a lot of places that never make the papers. This is a particularly interesting post. Which one did you find this on? Remember?
I think it was a Vax Injuries group on Telegram.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. I got to do that quick. Hold on. My father and my stepfather both died. Dead. My father and my stepfather, AstraZeneca. I've heard of five others in my circle of friends also dead on our street alone. 15 people died within a matter of days in a series of 10 neighboring homes. And the kicker, one couple found decomposing on their sofa sitting together, and we're still watching the TV. Wow. Just astounding. That is
incredible.
That's top 10 stuff. We'll see. Okay, next one is a shorty. I have seen literally hundreds of people who were perfectly fine, sharp mentally, very sharp on vacation, riding jet skis, driving a motorcycle, painting a house, perfectly fine. Go from that to complete confusion, unable to swallow, muscle spasms, and tremors. Full body, unable to walk, so weak they can't stand up. I've literally seen hundreds just myself. Unreal. And one more little shorty. I'm watching my adult children, they're in their mid-20s, become really sick, and my heart bleeds. I'll bet it
does. A lot of parents in a tough situation like that.
Go ahead.
Let's see.
Shedding number one.
Okay. Someone asked, what were your symptoms? And here's the discussion. Hugs are deadly. I cannot touch or be inside with vaxxed. I've had to let neighbors know that they can't come over and chat. It was just awful to have to do that. I cried and cried.
May I stop you? This is important. For all of you out there who know that what we've been presenting is true, and you must stay away from the vaxxed, not be cooped up in rooms, in homes, in small areas with them, don't touch them. We've heard too many stories. This is the perfect example of that. This person made the decision. He or she chose life over death. Hugs are deadly. I can't touch or be inside with vaxxed. I've had to let neighbors know that they cannot come over to my house anymore and chat. It was just awful to have to do that. I cried and cried. That's the choice you're going to have to make, dear friends. Never more succinctly laid out than right there. Go ahead, excuse me.
Okay, after one double vaxxed neighbor spent the afternoon at my dining table needing hugs of support, I got sick for 3 weeks, disabled, bedridden, sick. My husband arrived home hours after she'd left, and he got sick for 3 weeks also. My husband
and he wasn't around her. He wasn't
right.
around her directly.
Right. My husband is a firefighter, and he's very strong and healthy. I have never seen him that sick in our entire marriage of 20 years. It was after that incident that I finally connected the dots. I had only been well for a few weeks when I was hit with my last contact sickness, which lasted 4 weeks, and I really didn't think I'd survive. There was one afternoon where I was lying on the couch, and I remember trying to leave my body 4 times. I would get up and walk away from the couch and feel pulled back. And then I looked back and I saw my sleeping body lying there, and I would sink back into it. When I came to, I started crying as I realized my spirit was trying to leave my body.
I don't have any problem believing every word of that. Not at all. Okay, the next one. Tied to this string of hugs are deadly. It's awful, isn't it? The same happened to me after meeting someone who'd gotten the Moderna. I gave them a peck on the cheek as I left. I passed it on to my own household. And then it triggered my very old dog who got sick and never recovered. It breaks my heart. I know she was old, 19, but she was healthy before this incident, a strong, amazing soul. I have hugged my fully vaxxed parents, and I bleed. I'm in menopause. Just from a hug. A hug. It's a nightmare. No touching. That seems to be the key. No touching.
Okay. Okay, this one has to do with vision problems after being around the vaxxed. I woke up with blurry eyesight on my right eye. Could this be from shedding? First answer, yes. The number one issue for me, along with a watery eye and a sty, like infection, it was bad on rollout, but always watery now, and I get blurry eyes. I'm in my 30s, but I just rinse and close, and it passes. But it's new since the vaccine rollout. Wow, that sounds bad. Is it getting better? How do you rinse it? It doesn't get better or worse. It comes and goes, mostly around 3 p.m. after my day
Mouday.
Out with vaxxed.
Mouday.
After my day out with vaxxed all day, I just rinse with water, close them, refresh them. She says, okay, I hope it will disappear soon. Another one says, I have the same issue, and a little vein is so visible now. High blood pressure, right eye also. Another symptom to watch out for.
Yeah, yeah. Watch out for the formation of spider veins in your legs or wherever.
Yeah.
And then there's another little thing being reported that Erica nailed, and they're little dots, little tiny, teeny red dots. And people are misidentifying them as a rash, but it's not. It's little clotted, exploded, perhaps, capillaries. And they make a little red mark, little tiny red mark. You get a lot of those, and you got what looks like a rash, but they don't go away like a rash. So
yeah,
that's
a sign of the microclotting. It's called petechiae. And people are mistaking it for a rash, and it's not. It's a sign of, as I said, microclotting.
Ouch. Okay, here's that video with Dr. David Martin. I'm going to try and jump into this as quickly as we can, except for the six. Boy, they keep making these commercials longer, 6 seconds. All right. Close ad. I'm going to move this up to about 54. Okay. This is Greg Hunter with Dr. David Martin.
A lot of people think they're going to get away with this. You have the CEO of Pfizer, Birla, just out a few weeks ago. We're going to start suing people for misinformation. I think, wow. Are these medical companies, these vaccine companies, these the FDA, the NIH, the CDC, are they going to get away with what many people are calling a massive genocide?
No, they're not. And it's interesting. I mean, one of the reasons why you don't hear companies like Pfizer or Moderna going after any of us who are actually disclosing information that is material is because to prove defamation or to prove libel, you have to actually show the evidence that what we said was not true. And the problem is 100% of the evidence that we talk about is true. And so the cool thing is they can threaten all they want. The bad news is they would have to disclose things that I can guarantee you they will never, ever disclose. And in fact, the shoe is on the other foot. As you probably know, we filed the very first federal case against the president, against CMS, and against the Department of Health and Human Services in Utah back in March. Oral arguments for that case are on July the 6th. And we are not only not going to be sued for, you know, any libel or misinformation, we are actually holding people criminally accountable for their domestic terrorism, their crimes against humanity, and the story of the coronavirus weaponization that goes back to 1998.
When you say the president, you're talking about President of the United States, President Trump, President Biden?
Well, we are talking about the actor in chief that we have, Weekend at Bernie's, none other than Joe Biden.
Ah.
He's the first named defendant in our case.
So these people, I mean, I'm reading all kinds of information. I mean, Dr. Pierre Corey says we could have saved 800,000 people. This is a few months ago. If we had just used ivermectin, they stopped that. The deaths and injuries in bears and the tens of thousands, if not millions, not just here in the United States, but then the other equivalent overseas. A lot of people have died already. A lot of people are hurt already with this whole thing. Tell me about the impact so far, and is it going to get worse with these CV-19 injections?
Yeah, well, listen, yes.
If I might suggest what we've been suggesting for a long time here, the evidence suggests strongly that one injection of a truly viable, legitimate bioweapon is enough to cause death over time. How much time? Depends on your physiology and your general state of health. So it doesn't necessarily mean you have to have 3, 4, or 5 shots. We think one will do it if it's a real shot and not a placebo.
Yep.
Get much worse. You know, the fact is that when you inject mRNA into a human being, which is what the current manipulations are, that mRNA makes the human body produce a scheduled toxin. And by scheduled toxin, I mean this spike protein modeled after the coronavirus spike protein. And we need to be clear on the fact that by all of their own admission, the spike protein that the injection manufactures is a computer simulation of a chimera of the spike protein of coronavirus. It is, in fact, not a coronavirus vaccine. It is a spike protein instruction to make the human body produce a toxin, and that toxin has been scheduled as a known biologic agent of concern with respect to biological weapons for the last now decade and a half. So the fact of the matter is that the injections are an act of bioweapons and bioterrorism. They are not a public health measure. And the facts are very simple. This was premeditated. This was actually an action taken specifically as disclosed in 2015 at the National Academy of Sciences, when Peter Daszak, who is the money launderer in chief, the guy who sent money over to the Wuhan labs in China during the gain-of-function moratorium, when he made the statement, as I've repeated many, many times, and I'll go ahead and read it for your audience, to sustain the funding beyond the crisis, we need to increase the public understanding for the need for medical countermeasures such as a pan-coronavirus vaccine. A key driver is the media, and the economics will follow the hype. We need to use that hype to our advantage to get to the real issues. Investors will follow if they see profit at the end of the process. Peter Daszak in 2015 actually stated that this entire exercise was a campaign of domestic terror to get the public to accept a universal vaccine platform using a known biological weapon, and that is their own words, not my interpretation.
These people that have done this, and then the people that have taken these shots, I've been saying this all along, that when they figure out they've been poisoned, they're going to, I mean, we're talking about Antifa, Black Lives Don't Matter, you're talking about the Democrats that Cliff Heiss said 19 of 20, you know, got the Kool-Aid line, they got double vaxxed and boosted. They're going to go crazy, are they not?
Well, if they're around to do the going crazy part, a lot of them are dying. A lot more of them will die. What we do know, for example, is that both the shot as well as the treatment that Anthony Fauci promoted, remdesivir, actually has a 53% kill rate in the trials that were done in Africa. The fact of the matter is an enormous number of people who are injected are already carrying the seeds of their own demise, because what we do know is that the instructions that are encoded in both the Pfizer and the Moderna shot include nucleic acid sequences that the human body has never seen ever. They are not part of nature. They are part of a genetic engineering experiment that has never had animal trials. It has never gone through clinical trials, and it is 100% unknown, other than the fact that we know that a lot of people are going to die because a lot of people already have, and many more will, because of blood clots, because of endothelial cell lining damage that's being done to the cardiovascular system, to liver function, to kidney function, to pulmonary function. And that says nothing about reproductive or cancer effects that we anticipate, and some of which we've already started to see.
I guess the $64,000 question, the million-dollar question, is how many people do you think are going to die? Cliff, I was talking about 30 or 40 million. And that doesn't
Well, based on their own 2011 estimate, and Greg, I mean, this is a chilling estimate, but we just have to put it out there. In 2011, when the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, the Chinese CDC, the Wellcome Trust, Jeremy Farr, the Wellcome Trust, and others published the decade of vaccination for the World Health Organization back in 2011, their stated objective was a population reduction of 15% of the world's population. Put that in perspective, that's about 700 million people dead.
How many do you think will die here in the U.S. of A?
Well, an enormous number. I mean, listen, the tragedy of this particular injection, as we now can see in every day's press releases, people who were injected, including people like Anthony Fauci, including most of the people surrounding the White House, including enormous numbers of people in various public health settings, and including Justin Trudeau times two, people who have been injected and boosted and all kinds of other things are now contracting COVID at actually quite alarming rates. Now, the fact of the matter is, what that means is that they are starting to show up, having their bodies systemically producing a runaway biologic weapon called the spike protein associated with coronavirus. And the fact of the matter is, we are going to see a very large population killed off. And that was not by accident, that was by design.
We project that upwards of 30 trillion or more spike proteins will be created by each individual who has received at least one viable bioweapon injection. 30 trillion. And there may not be any end at all. They may continue to be being produced until the person dies. So we don't know. If you want to see how these people behind this whole program of bioweapon genocide feel, look at the top of the homepage. Look at this woman, this alleged doctor named Baker. Listen to what she says about white people. You'll get the picture. Here's David Martin again.
If you just look at, take their numbers say, I don't know, Ed Dowd said more than 200,000 Americans took at least one shot. And if you just take that raw number, wow, well, 10% would be 20 million, right?
Yep. And
we're talking 30 million.
What we know is that the spike protein was such a tragic error in terms of the first time it was engineered. Because remember, I think it's important for your listeners and viewers to remember that in 1999, when Anthony Fauci and Ralph Baric at the University of North Carolina Chapel Hill decided to start weaponizing coronavirus, they patented in 2002, and you heard that date correctly, that's a year before the SARS outbreak in China the first time, they patented what they called a, quote, infectious replication defective chimera of coronavirus.
Oh, boy.
And let's unpack what that means. Infectious means that it actually is more lethal to the target. Replication defective means its damage is primarily to the target and not to the target's family or friends or community or anything else. And in 2002, the University of North Carolina Chapel Hill patented the replication defective infectious coronavirus chimera, which then became the first instance of SARS. And it was perfected in 2013 to 2016 during the gain of function moratorium, where the University of North Carolina Chapel Hill was given an exemption from the gain of function moratorium so they could continue to weaponize the virus to the point where in 2016, Ralph Baric published a paper in which he said the Wuhan Institute of Virology Virus 1 coronavirus was, quote, poised for human emergence, end quote. So they knew this all along. You know, they knew it was a bioweapon since 2005. They knew it was effective at taking out populations, harming populations, intimidating and coercing populations. And they did that all very intentionally, for the purpose of destroying humanity.
Okay, we'll stop right there. The entire one-hour conversation, that was 12 minutes worth, if you want to note that, you can hear it all. We'll have it up on the homepage this evening. It's quite compelling. It's nice to see people getting closer to telling it precisely as it is. I don't think that they made a mistake or there was an error in creating the synthetic spike protein, as he mentioned. I think it was quite intentional. I think this injection is doing precisely what it was designed to do. That's my take.
I think so, too. I don't think it was ever about protecting anybody from anything.
No. Okay, how will David Martin be successful? I don't know. How successful will he be? I don't know that either. I can't predict the behavior of the legal system in this country anymore. There was a time when I would feel that, you know, right would make the courts respond appropriately, but they don't seem to be doing that very often anymore. And if they do, they're often overridden by an appellate court. So time will tell. But it's good to see this at least introduced into the legal system and put down in black and white, which is what they're doing. Okay, anything to add to that? There's a lot of material.
No, you said it well. Good job.
I mean, the couple sitting on their sofa both died, obviously relatively very close to each other in terms of time, and they were still sitting there, decomposing, watching the TV when they were found. How macabre does it get? That's Twilight Zone stuff. Okay, thanks, Erica. Talk soon.
Okay, my pleasure, Jeff. Have a good evening, everyone.
And we will be back with you tomorrow night. Take care, prepare, beware. We've got some time. You can still get some food, and please do, even if it's only a case of your favorite baked beans. I don't care. Put some food away. Talk to you tomorrow.